Beloved congregation, the scripture reading in this prayer service you find again in Luke chapter 3. And the scripture reading is formed by the verses 7 through 14. Luke 3, we read the verses 7 through 14. And there we read God's holy word. Then John the Baptist said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So far the reading of God's word. The text for the meditation in this prayer service is verse 9. And verse 9 reads, And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Beloved congregation, John the Baptist continues his preaching. We considered verse 8 last Lord's Day, and now we continue on with verse 9. And it is stern preaching, because sinners must be saved. They must be awakened. The house is on fire. People are sleeping in the house. If they are not awakened, they will surely perish. The world is going to be set on fire. It's already starting to smoke. The nations are in turmoil. Many ask, who shall show us any good? They look to the governments for relief. They look to the economists for outcome. But it's all in vain. We look to the right and we look to the left, but all are going astray. And John knew that they were going to perish. And so he calls out with his stern, uncovering preaching. But let's not make a mistake here. John was filled with love. He wasn't angry with the people. He loved the people. The love of Christ was burning in him. He was consumed by love to his Lord. He loved souls. He loved the people of Israel. And he knew they were dead in trespasses and sins. He knew that they leaned upon presumption. And he knew they thought they were much better than the Gentiles. And now they had to be awakened because they weren't better than the Gentiles. They needed cleansing. And so John, out of love to the well-being of the people, delivered them stern preaching. For those who love your souls will in love warn you for God's wrath. But those who do not love you will never speak about hell. Will never speak about the wrath of God. They cover it up. They say peace, peace, and no danger. They dub with unmortared mortar, with undubbed mortar to cover up the sins. But John uses here the imagery of an axe. We imagine a forest. Certain trees are going to be felled. And the lumberjack lays the axe at the root of the tree and makes a cut into it. That's a tree he's going to cut down. And he goes to the forest. He selects the ones he's going to cut down. And so he makes a cut. The axe is laid at the bottom of the tree. But in the case of John's preaching, he's referring to all the trees. The whole forest is going to be cut down. And that's the image of our human life. John warns for the coming judgment. Paul warned the Athenians for the judgment which was to come. The Apostle Peter speaks about this pending judgment. The Lord Jesus spoke about this judgment. The Old Testament prophets, they often warned repeatedly for the Yom Yahweh, the day of the Lord, and that day would be with burning and fire. The Lord Jesus tells us he's going to come back to judge the living and the dead, when all nations will be assembled before him at the great day of his second coming. So John is warning the people with the words of our text, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then we can refer to notorious sinners and their violations of God's commandments, and that we expect they will be punished, for they do not have good fruit in their lives. But we can also refer to people who have certain emotions and affections, and it looks like repentance, but it is not. They fall short. They also have no good fruits in their life. We can speak of the terror that Cain had. We can think of the despair of Judas, and even his confession. And it looks, at first glance, that it's a good fruit. We can refer to the joy that the stony ground hearers had in the parable of the sower. But it was not good fruit. We can refer to people who speak in tongues of angels and of men. There may be those who have the gifts of miracles and prophecy, who claim to know much. But this is not evidence of good fruit. What belongs to good fruit? We saw some of that last Lord's Day. But more can be said. What is good fruit? If we take it all together, it is this, that we are dedicated to the Lord, that we have concern for His honor. It is to be jealous for the honor of God. You can also point to a holy indignation against sin, so that you learn to hate all manner of sin. You resist it. You hate it. You fight against it. We can also refer to a reverential, childlike fear of God. This person stands in awe of God and is afraid to sin against this good-doing God. You can also refer to an ardent desire to walk in all God's commandments. There's a certain dedication and devotion resting upon those who are truly converted. Like Zacchaeus, he wanted to mend his ways, to repay all he did wrong, he was genuine. It was good fruit. And so the question comes to us, do we bear good fruit in our lives? That's essential. It's not something optional. No, it's a must. We are called to bring forth good fruit. Because John tells us here, and he's speaking as it were to us, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. But when we consider this, if you think a bit further, the Lord Jesus came and there was no judgment. Because the Lord Jesus himself says that the Son of Man has come not to condemn, but to save. To seek and to save that which is lost. And why does John the Baptist say the axe is at the root of the tree? Well, nothing happened. Because John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. And the Old Testament prophets, they saw the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus, as it were, in one illustration. And the first coming, that was the one in which the Lord Jesus would come to seek and to save that which is lost. But the second coming, then the Lord Jesus will not come to seek and to save that which is lost, but then he will come as the judge. Then the day of grace is past. Then the gospel has been preached throughout the world, throughout all the nations. And then there will be the day of reckoning. And the Lord will consider the fruit. He's looking for fruit. And then the Lord will judge those who do not bear fruit. The Lord has done it before. The worldwide flood. Every human being was drowned. Except for Noah and his family. And Sodom and Gomorrah. Only Lot and his wife and two daughters could escape. His wife didn't make it far. Because her heart was still in Sodom. And all Sodom and Gomorrah and the villages around it were destroyed. Not one escaped. And the Lord, who had pity upon the people of Israel and loved them, he led them into exile. And terrible judgments came upon the people. God's judgment is to be feared. And the axe is already laid upon the root. Sometimes you can feel that axe when you're sick, when you have pain, and when you realize you're mortal, and you realize things won't stay as they are. You're on your way to your long home, or when you get the death tiding, another death announcement in the congregation. Or when you receive a call from the doctor, yes, nothing to be worried about, but could you please come back? We need to do some extra examinations. Then you realize the axe is there. And we see that axe portrayed in the Word of God. When the Lord Jesus says that he will return. And that will be the last day of this world. We call it the youngest day, the last day. We call it the greatest day. The great and awful day of the Lord. That's how the prophets called it. And then the books will be opened. The books of our conscience. Everyone will remember what he did wrong. The book of God's law will be opened and compared to our lives. whether we have lived according to God's will. And the book of life will be opened. And therein we see recorded those who fled to the Lord Jesus, who found life in Him. They will enter into everlasting life. But those whose names are not recorded in the book of life, they will go into the eternal fire, into outer darkness. And now we must realize that the Bible is written to save us from this judgment. And therefore the gospel is so precious. The whole word of God is of inestimable value. And therefore John preached this gospel. Law and gospel, accusation, and pointing to the one who could redeem, so that the people would repent and be saved. And we are now in the week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. And who may attend this supper? Those who bear good fruit, they may attend. But the issue is, when we look at ourselves, we will not dare say we have good fruit. And we don't want to add up, I have this and that, and I did that, and therefore I can come to the supper. No, it's the other way around. Because this fruit is a fruit of humility. It's a fruit of a broken heart. And the sacrifice of a broken heart that is acceptable to the Lord. And then it's the other way around. Instead of adding up, we start to subtract. And then we realize that I do not have such faith to which I'm called to exercise. And I do not have that love to the Lord that I should have. And what happens is then you have sorrow. You have a godly sorrow. And then you turn to the Lord. You seek His countenance, and you long, as we just mentioned already, to walk not in some of the commandments, but in all the commandments of God. And you confess your poverty, and you confess, O Lord, I lie in the midst of death, but I seek my life outside of myself in that precious Savior who has become dear and precious to me, my only refuge, my only support. You see, that's the fruit. When we look away from ourselves and we look to Him, and there's nothing to be said of us, but there's everything to be said of Him. He is my heart's delight. And they lean upon His sacrifice, His poured out blood and His broken body. You know what happens to such people? They used to be adding up, and they unlearn that. Then they start to subtract. And they see they have nothing, empty hands, filthy hands, nothing that I can present to Thee, nothing. But those people who have learned to subtract in their life, righteousness is multiplied. Because it's the imputed righteousness of Christ imputed to them, granted to them. And then the fruit do come forth. The fruit. Because the fruit comes from Christ. Thy fruit is found in me, says the Lord. And then the Lord prepares the good works for His people. And He gives them strength to walk in it. It's all His work. And then on top of that, the Lord is also going to reward the good works a person did. But He will never say that of Himself. Because He sees and realizes and experiences that he is still so far from the Lord. The fruits of righteousness, they come from Him. And that's why He receives all the glory. And that's the comfort. That's relief. when you can't get your heart where it should be, you may know that the Lord is able to work fruit in your life. And that's comfort, that's relief, that gives expectation, that gives anticipation upon this blessed Savior. And it's an encouragement to cleave to this Lord. And if we think more about that good fruit, what's needed? Well, that our heart will be broken. And what will break your heart? So that good fruit will come forth. It is this: to have a sight upon Christ crucified. It's have a view upon the love of Christ shown in His death and suffering for sin. And there we see that God so loved the world that He gave His Son as a Savior. And when you see the Lord Jesus on the cross, and you realize who you are, and that He is there bearing your curse, your guilt, then we see such love. And that love melts our heart. And you say, wretched man that I am, Thou art so good, but I am no good. Thou art so good. And you start longing for the Lord. Then you're broken. Then you're humbled to the dust. And you see that the Lord Jesus is altogether precious and lovely. That He gave Himself so that His people would be delivered. He in the pain so that they could be relieved of every suffering. He shed tears so that their tears would all be wiped off. He in outer darkness so they could walk in the light and would never walk in the darkness anymore. He under the judgment of God so that they would be acquitted of His judgment, and therefore a sight upon Christ crucified will break and will melt your heart. And then you see that the axe was laid at the root of His tree. But in His case, the axe was lifted up and it smote that tree. The axe of God's judgment came upon His own Son in full force, and it smote Christ, and He was in outer darkness. He bore the judgment. He descended into hell. And there we see the love of God, which is not to be understood, and that's now resembled at the Lord's Supper. Broken bread and poured out wine. While all along, He only brought forth fruits of righteousness. There was no deceit upon His lips. And yet He was cut with that axe. Because He took your and my place. He's the substitute. And when you see this miracle, you beg the Lord that your life may be His and that you would learn to walk according to His will. And you ask the Lord for more love to Him and more devotion to Him, because He is worthy of all your love, of all your heart. And that will be the fruit of celebrating the Lord's Supper. And now we are in a prayer service and we are praying for the spiritual well-being of the whole congregation. Praying for the coming of God's kingdom in this world. Because the reality is that all have sinned and all need repentance. No one brought forth good fruit. The Lord looked to see if there was anyone who doeth good. And there was not one. We have all failed. But those who rest on the Lord Jesus Christ, they may experience adoption by grace. His love becomes precious. And that love will be exhibited, the Lord willing, coming Lord's Day at His supper. Amen.